Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you might be when you're listening to this. My name is Charisse Alexander, your host of Your Collective. Welcome to today's show, where I will be sitting down with my very good friend, Jessica Adenikin. Jess is one of those people in my life that, we see each other a few times a year, and every time we sit down, we get into hours and hours and hours of heartfelt conversation. Today, the idea of the show today was to chat about imposter syndrome and how we struggle with that. But in all reality, what we're talking about today is, again, the relationship with the divine, faith, spirituality, the challenges that we face, and how do we meet those challenges head on and maybe not shy away from the challenge. So without further delay, let us dive in. Okay, so Jess.
Thank you again so much.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Charisse.
For joining me here today on Your Collective. And I must say, first in-person podcast interview. So thank you.
Had to. I'm excited. This is my first ever podcast appearance. Mm-hmm. So yes, this should be interesting.
It will be. So Jess and I have known each other. Okay, we're not going to date either one of us. We're just going to say a very, very
early
long
aughts.
Time.
Since the very early aughts.
Yes. We've known each other for a while. Jess is a multi-talented young lady. I love her like a sister. And because we spend a lot of time with each other, we always have these really deep conversations. And so Jess actually has been around for the entirety of this podcast journey. And she even said to me before I started it, she's like, oh my gosh, you're like actually doing it. Like you were just talking about it last year. And now you're actually doing it. And
yeah.
I said, do you want to be a guest? And she said, yes. And I said, okay, what are we going to talk about? And she said, imposter syndrome.
Right. Well, yeah, it is. It's one of those things that it kind of comes up in conversation just naturally. And then, so I was like, yeah, I don't even know at the time what your theme of your podcast was, but I just know that it's something that we've talked about before. And
yes,
I'd like to go a little deeper.
Oh, would you? Okay. Well,
not too deep now, you know.
Well, you know what? My whole thing with this particular podcast is we will go where we allow it to go. So if you are like free with it, then it can be a lot of fun. But I guess before we dive in too deep, please, for those folks who don't know who you are, tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do, what makes you special and unique, whatever you want to share.
Oh, gosh, that's, so my name is Jessica Adenikin, and I am a recently turned 40. I am a mother. I am a university graduate with a degree in marketing and a diploma in business management. I also have my own business doing remote styling and consulting. And I could go into all my other talents if you want, but I sing. Once upon a time, I used to act and write, but I haven't done those things in a long time. But yeah, that's the gist of it. I'm raising a teenage daughter. I have one child. She's awesome. Yeah.
Anything else you want to share?
I don't know. I've never really thought of what my intro is. Anything that you'd like to share about me?
So why do Jess and I connect, aside from the fact that our energies have always vibed really, really well? I wish you could see Jess right now. She's fighting with a fly or a mosquito or something. But anyway,
oh, it's going to just annoy me.
But Jess and I have always vibed because we have very complementary energies. But normally where we can have hours and hours and hours of long conversation is we almost always land on Yes, spirituality and faith. Jess is, well, Jess, what, why don't you tell us a little bit about your faith?
I'm a Christian. I grew up in the church. And then there's been times in my life when I've gone away from the church and come back. I probably have more, I don't want to necessarily say liberal, but like just my ideas around Christianity and faith aren't as rigid maybe as, you know, say my mom's, you know what I mean? But yeah, I've always been very interested in just learning and understanding this life and the universe. And I find myself, I've, you know, gone back and forth between, you know, more of the spiritual side of things. But yes, I'm a firm believer in Jesus and God, the creator. And, but yeah, I think I'm always open to understanding more about the universe and energy frequencies. And so, yeah, I think I'm just like a lifelong learner.
I think we all are lifelong learners.
True.
I think the older we get, interestingly enough, when you're young, tell me if this resonates with you, but when you're young, you think you know it all very early. Like, you know, you have things to learn, but like, it's almost like when you're 18, 19, you're like, yeah, I'm good. I'm ready. Like, let me take on this thing called life. And then as you start really leaning into the journey, you realize, I don't know shit.
Yeah, I'm still like, I don't know shit. And I'm 40. Or like, you know, life throws you a curveball and then you just like go back to like, oh, I'm a baby in this, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about, I mean, the great thing about the fact that you and I have known each other for so long is you've watched my own personal journey. Mm-hmm. And I've been very open with you.
Yes.
Around the experience and what it's been like and what I'm learning and all this other kind of stuff. But I'm curious for you, you mentioned that, yes, you grew up in the church, you stepped away for a little bit, which I don't know is necessarily unusual. I think almost everybody who grows up in the church mm-hmm. has a faith crisis of some sort. Can you dive into that a little bit?
I think for me, it was, you know, growing up in the church, I always remember that, like, my my late Pastor Collins, you know, he would always say, like, you know, if you're either hot or you're cold, and if you're lukewarm, God will spit you out of his mouth, kind of thing, right? And so I didn't want to be a hypocrite. And so when I, like, I got baptized, I think I was about 13 or 14 years old, hadn't had any life experience yet. And so then when I got to the age of, oh, I want to, you know, live my life, I want to do my thing, I did not want to be a hypocrite. I didn't want to be living my life 5-6 days a week and then be at church Sunday morning acting all innocent. And so for that reason, I kind of was like, well, right now I'm choosing to like live out a more secular life style. And so I was. And so I probably, for me, that's probably around the time that I kind of stepped away from the church. Not that I never went, but I wasn't going regularly. And then got into a relationship. And then, you know, 4 years in, and I was on my way out, I found out I was having Naila. And so automatically, and like my daughter's father, he, you know, grew up in Jamaica, has a foundation in the church and stuff, but he was always exploring different religious ideas, or, you know what I mean? And so, but I told him when I found out I was pregnant that I knew that I wanted to raise my child in the church. And he was very supportive of that. And so that's kind of what brought me back to the church, was knowing I wanted to raise my kid in the church and give her that same foundation that I had. And yeah, and even in that, over the years, like, there was times when I was like very committed and I was going all the time. And then there was, you know, times where, listen, getting up on Sunday morning was hard. You know what I mean? And like, I just want to sleep in, or I'd be busy doing hair or whatever. And I'd say very recently, I mean, my mom, I would always send my daughter to church with my mom if I wasn't going. And then very recently, I kind of stepped back into the role of leading a youth worship team. And this is just over the last, since April. And so my commitment has been like re-solidified, mm-hmm. trying every week to make it to church on Sunday on time, which I'm already a late person. And then I have a teenage daughter who is her mother, but then times that by 10. She moves to the beat of her own drum. So getting there on time is now what I'm working on. But yes.
Hey, you're going.
We're going. Yeah. Yes. So, yeah.
So it was the arrival of Nye that took you back to the church. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to circle back to something you've said. You said you were baptized around 13, 14. And then when you turned 18, it was like, for lack of putting it a better way, you wanted to wild out.
I did wild out a little bit. I mean, okay. I mean, I didn't wild out like some people wild out. But, you know, I was up in the club.
Sure.
I was doing my, you know, I was just living a more worldly life.
So what was the thought there then? That you couldn't do both?
For me, I internally would feel hypocritical. Mm-hmm. Like if I went out Saturday night and didn't get to bed till 4 a.m. and probably still had alcohol underneath toothpaste, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. On my breath, I wasn't trying to be up in there Sunday morning and feeling like at like a level of guilt or shame or, you know what I mean? So I was like, if I'm going to live that way, I'm going to just live that way.
Yeah.
And I mean, God was always, I always had a personal relationship with God, but even then sometimes it was like, God, I don't want to be faced with, you know, my own whatever it was. So I don't want you right now because then I, you know what I mean? I have to like confront some things. So
decisions that you're making and whether they're in alignment.
Exactly.
And I use that word alignment. And sorry to interrupt here for a second. But the reason why I go to that is because it was an idea that I had. It was probably my own resistance for many years in terms of, I'm not going to say the church, I'll say traditional faith, right, as in Christianity, and all of that, what it represents, and that resistance that I had in my own mind of exactly what you're talking about, which is like the, and I'm going to be very generic here and very broad, but I think that we are all faced with examples or have witnessed examples of folks that will go to church or live their life as they see fit Monday through Saturday. Mm-hmm. And that may or may not be in alignment with the values of that particular faith. Mm-hmm. And then Sunday comes or whatever holy day is your holy day. And we're going to live in the light of of what the values are. And I too is just like, I don't want to live like that. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to. So I guess where my question is in this, or the idea that I pose, and the reason why I say that is, does it have to be one or the other? And I think you've answered the question for yourself, but I think what I came to understand is that I don't, and you and I have talked about this, which is judgment, right? Because then the idea is that God is judging you. Mm-hmm. Right. God is saying that. And so for you, you obviously felt that that would be the case if I was like,
well, you know what?
Life.
I think for me, it's kind of like, I mean, yes, on some level, I think it was my own self judgment. Right.
Yeah.
And it's not that I don't think you can live both. I think that God will course correct you along the way. He doesn't ask you to come to him perfect. There is no such thing.
Mm.
The only one that was perfect and lived a sinless life was Jesus. And he was crucified at 33 years old. So, I mean, like, if he had lived a long life, like, it's a hard life to live without sin. You know what I mean? If you live even to teenage years, you know what I mean? Like, all of a sudden, you're faced with choices every day that you make, right? So it's not that I think he's asking us to come perfect, and you know what I mean? But I do think that when you do have faith in God, that with that sometimes comes the conviction, which would, where I said was my self, like, you know, criticism or whatever, or like conviction in myself. I think it was actually like, that's God. It's not like he's like gonna can't hate you, or you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that's how he corrects us, is like just this gentle, you know what I mean? Like, why do we have guilty consciences? Why do we, you know what I mean, feel shameful when we do things that maybe morally are not correct? I mean, you don't have to be a murderer to feel like, oof, something, or even it could be something you said to a family member, yeah, or the way you spoke to somebody. Why do we have that? And that I think that he is the moral compass. And so I think it's in all of us, whether we believe or not. There's a reason why we don't all go out and just kill people and, you know, do awful, terrible things that we would consider criminal. We just are born with this understanding, or we learn very young what's right, what's wrong. And I think that, like, God's always speaking to us, and whether we acknowledge it or not. So maybe at that time, maybe God was telling me, hey, how you're living is not right. You know what I mean? And instead of wanting to hear that, I was like, well, I want to live this way right now, so I'm going to choose to live this way, mm, and kind of quiet the voice of God. And so I still had that. It's easier to go and live, quote unquote, in sin, or do whatever you want to do, when you've kind of like pushed that aside, right?
Is it though?
I mean, I think that that voice was maybe always there, but just a little bit like we lowered the volume on it. You know what I mean? And I did always know, and I believe this, like, you know, it says like raise up a child in the way they should go and they will not depart from it. Doesn't mean that your kids, you know, the story of the prodigal son, like it doesn't mean that you're, you know,
I'm kids, the prodigal daughter, according to my mom.
Okay, there you go. That doesn't mean that they won't, you know, depart from it, and but that they will always kind of return to, you know, the foundation, the fundamentals that you instill in them, right? And so I always knew, like, I always loved God. I always had a heart for God. He's always been part of my conversations, like, you know what I mean? It was just in that time of my life. And I mean, even today, there's things that I'm like, I know that God's working on certain things with me, but, you know, maybe I'm not ready to let that thing go yet, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But God gives, he's gracious, and I think he gives us time to not everybody has the opportunity. Every day you wake up, you don't know if you're going to wake up, you know? So you try to live right daily. Mm-hmm. But as long as I have breath, then I have, you know, he's working on me. Yeah, yeah. I'm a work in progress.
Aren't we all? Yeah, I don't mean to belabor the point. I just, you talk about, and I think it's important to say here, you know, you'll use the word God. I use many words to denote the energy of God. I'll say creator, divine, God, but all of that at the end of the day is rooted in love.
Yahweh.
Yeah, Yahweh. That's a story for another day.
Great story.
It is. But all of it ultimately is rooted in love. And I think that, you know, at the beginning of this journey, I would absolutely say, you know, I think we know what's right or wrong. And I think really my verbiage has advanced in that, or evolved is probably a better word, to mean more like in alignment with,
yeah,
who we really are at our core. And I believe that who we really are at our core is love. So those decisions are either in alignment with love or out of alignment with love. And really, in the book Conversations with God, one of the ideas that's posed is there really are only two feelings. It's love and it's fear. Mm-hmm. Everything in between is either going towards fear or, yeah, going towards love.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, for those folks who have a challenging relationship with God, to make it really, really simple, it can be that simple, right? Mm-hmm. Am I making this choice out of a place of love, mm-hmm. or am I making this choice out of a place of fear? Mm-hmm. And fear is those things like all those low vibe emotions, right? Totally. Anger, envy, doubt, anxiety, all those things, right? Yeah. Because if you're making choices that are in alignment with God or love, then there is absolutely no room for fear.
Absolutely.
Right.
It says in the Bible, love casts out fear.
100%.
And so I totally agree. And it's making me think of a conversation we were having before we started recording. And I'm like, I got to actually use that probably in every decision.
Yeah.
That's a great way of looking at it.
I try to tune in with my, so what I'm currently working on at this phase in my journey is how do I, so like you, I agree that the relationship with the divine is so personal. And you, so the things that we do in community, such as going to church, leading a youth group, et cetera, that's in servitude to God. That's one piece of it. But then there's the very personal relationship that we cultivate on a not even daily basis, moment, yeah, to moment, right? And so I think a lot, I think that's where I am right now, which is like, how do I cultivate? Because if God's talking to us all the time, and actually, interestingly enough, you were just talking about bells and whistles and signs and all this other kind of stuff. And I said to you, you know that God doesn't talk like that.
True.
Spirit is very subtle.
It's almost my way of being like, when I have, like we were talking about the fact that I have never really been one to be like, oh, like one of my life goals has never been necessarily marriage. I've had the opportunity before, and maybe out of fear or maybe out of knowing better for myself in certain situations, I have chosen not to get married. But I've always said, oh, like when people would be like, oh, why don't you get when are you going to get married or whatever? And I was like, God will literally have to come down, hit me upside my head, flash a sign with bright lights and be like, this is your husband. And I have heard stories, not necessarily like that, but like where, you know, God gave one person on the one side of the relationship a prophetic word, whether it was delivered through somebody else or, and also the other person, like, this is true. Who you're supposed to marry.
Yeah.
I want that kind of percentage where, because for me, I think of marriage, like, okay, if I'm in love today, I could make the decision like, oh my God, I'm so in love. I want to marry you and spend the rest of my life with you.
Yeah.
But feelings change. And you know, the heart is deceitful and there's a whole bunch of stuff. Yeah. And so if we're going just based on emotion, that's not necessarily, and or love, what our human understanding of love is not necessarily going to be the thing that is able to keep your marriage together, right? But I feel like if I were to know, because God just clearly delivered a message to me and my partner that we're supposed to be together, that even in the hard times, we have to work it out because this is who God predestined for. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
So even when I hate you, even when I can't stand you, we are working through this. Because if I just go based off my own, you know, ways of being in a relationship, when I can't stand you, it's time for you to go. Deuces. Like when I get to that level. But like, so if I knew for certain that God is like, no, this is your partner who I, you know, created for you, or he's for you, and I know that God hates divorce, then that means to me that I would be like, okay, I got to work through this. How do we get through this hard part? Or when you're not feeling in love anymore and you're not feeling the romance anymore and you're not maybe sexually attracted to your partner anymore, but this is who God has for me. So we're going to get through it.
So I guess then what I would ask is, can you think of a time when you got a sign, a message from God, from someone, where you were like, okay, I know this was a message. I know this was for me.
Yes.
Okay.
Share. Okay. So as you know, I'm sure I've shared with you, I feel like I started having dreams that were coming true, what I've come to term or call prophetic dreams. And at first, it was like, you know, oh, Zoe had a dream that, like, you were 3 months pregnant at Shelly's wedding, and she was like, oh, no, we're not going to have babies anymore, or not for a while, or whatever. And then she calls me a couple weeks later, and she was like, I'm going to kill you. And I was like, why? And she's like, I'm pregnant. And she's an ultrasound tech, and she, for some reason, decided to do a scan on herself. And she saw a little fetus inside of her.
So random.
And she was like, and the craziest thing is, I'm going to be 3 months pregnant at Shelly's wedding. And my friend Zoe lived in Houston. And in my dream, she came to the wedding, and I could clearly see that she was pregnant, but nobody else around us could mm-hmm. see that she was pregnant. And so when I saw her, like, I was standing up in the wedding. And then so when, I think it must have been after the ceremony, I ran up to her and I was like, oh my gosh, you're like so pregnant. Like, and she's like, you can tell. She's like, oh my God, I haven't told anybody. Nope. Like, nobody knows yet. And yeah. It was like exactly how it was in my dream, where I was the only one.
So you had a very prophetic dream.
So specific. But I was like, that's just so, like, I thought it was a coincidence. Or there had been other dreams that I'd had where, like, maybe God gave me a vision for a business. I didn't listen. Maybe I have some regrets. But anyways, I didn't know at the time that these were from God, right? Yeah. And so there had been a series of dreams. Some of them were sadder than others, like dreaming about somebody's passing and then it happening. And then when that happened, I was like, I don't want this. If this is from you, God, I don't want this. Like, I don't want to be able to see when somebody's going to pass away. And then what do I do with that information? You know what I mean? Like, so, and then I just...
Did you turn it off?
I think at that time.
Have you turned it back on?
Yes and no. I have. But I'll clarify that. At that time, I was like, I don't want this. And I think God doesn't force anything on us, right? And so for a while, I stopped having these dreams. And then I started praying and asking God, like, is this from you? I want to know when you're talking to me. Like, you know, some people will say, like, God spoke to me and blah, blah, blah. And it's different for everybody, right? And so I was like, I want to know that I know that I know, because I'm the kind of person who I will doubt and convince myself. Like, I will talk myself out of something, like, you know what I mean?
I think that when you, as strong as your relationship is with God, and sorry to interrupt you, I think as strong as your relationship is with God, I think it's totally natural to question the validity of any of the clairs, right?
Well, and in the Bible, it does say, like, test the spirits, like, to know that if it's of God. So you are, it's okay to question whether this is. So I was praying about it. And then I remember it was my brother's 38th birthday. Dopest party ever.
I think I remember that one.
Yeah. It was like a throwback party. It was so fun. And so I was dropping my daughter off to her grandparents. And so this is 8 years ago. I was dropping my daughter off to her grandparents. And then they were going to go to their church the next morning. And so she was like, Mom, are you going to come to church tomorrow? Like, and I said, I promise I'll be there. Now I get to the party. And I'm having so much fun that I, like, something in my head started being like, you're not going to go to church tomorrow. You're going to be up partying all night, just having a blast. And at about 1 a.m., and I'm not a sleeper. I can hang, ask anybody. I've tried with all my might to get everybody that I love to ever at some point pull an all-nighter with me. Nobody can do it. I can do it. Although it's getting harder as I get older. But at that time, like, me, I wouldn't probably go to sleep till 4 in the morning on a regular basis. So at 1 in the morning, I remember Les was like, I was laying on the couch and Les was talking to me and I just felt like this wave of exhaustion. And I was like, oh, just like, I felt so tired. And I was like, Les, I'll be right back. And I went upstairs and I like went into the den and I passed out for the rest of the party. Mm-hmm. Like, I was done. And to this day, I say God put me to sleep because I made a promise to go to church. So I woke up at like 6 in the morning And then I was like, well, I'm up, so I might as well go home, get ready, and then go to church. So I did. And I don't remember what the service was about or any of that, but then I remember I was sitting next to Shakira, which is my sister-in-law, which is my daughter's aunt, and the minister at the front called everyone up, did an altar call or called people up for prayer, and I feel like the majority of the church went up, and I am the kind of person, I'm like, I'm just going to sit back here, and I was actually sitting close to the front, and this gentleman who is now a minister, but at the time I didn't know who he was, and he came up to me and said, do you mind if I pray with you? And I'm a very like awkward person, but I was like, you know, oh yeah, sure, you know, like kind of like, oh gosh. And so he starts praying, and then he, like, as he's praying, he stops and says, God wants you to know that he has been speaking to you through your visions and your dreams.
Wow.
And I was like, this is somebody I have never met. Mm-hmm. And I've never had a conversation with him to this day after this. And I was like, okay, there's no way he would know that, like, I have dreams, or that I've been even, yeah, that's a question I've been asking God, right?
I'm curious, when I hear stories like this, I'm always curious, like, how, because, you know, the question people always pose is exactly that. Like, how do I know if this is in my head?
Yes.
How do I know? So how much time was it between that question, like, are these visions coming from you, and the answer?
I would say I had prayed about it multiple times, probably, you know, okay, I'm having a, like, frequent dreams. And then there was a few that I had that I didn't feel like necessarily aligned, and they didn't manifest in life, which, okay, not every single dream you have is going to be. But I felt like at the time, the only time that I dreamed or remembered my dreams, it was like it was a prophetic dream.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was a, I would say maybe, let me think. 8 years ago, I would say it was probably a couple months. And the reason I probably was asking, I don't even know if it was that long, to be honest.
Yeah.
But I think the reason that I was asking was I was basically at the end stages of a situationship. Mm-hmm. And the dreams that I had that were not coming to fruition had to do with that situation. Yeah. And so I was like, okay, like, I'm not clear. Is this from you, or is this some other, you know, or is it my own mind?
I think that sometimes also, though, what can happen is, how do you, it's tough. So if spirit's talking all the time, mm-hmm, we also have to be open to listening.
For sure.
And is it possible that it is, I think the way that I related it to someone is like, if you imagine the connection between us and the divine and what that communication looks like, there's a lot of interference in between.
Oh, for sure.
So your vibe has to be in a certain place, like, right, a certain level to actually hear that. So if you were to visualize it,
oh, for sure,
I'm down here, God's up here.
Yeah.
There's a lot in between.
Oh, 100%.
Us. How do I get closer? And yes, it's a direct connection, yeah, but you can't always hear.
Oh, well,
or
and like
see.
The way, yeah, we talk about it in like the Christian belief system, yeah, is that, like, the devil or the enemy,
yeah,
likes to distract us, right? Like, so he'll use things like, you're so busy, and then by the time it's time to pray, you're so tired, or, yeah, you know, like, you've got your phone and you've got games and apps and you've got emails and you got all of these things right in your, yeah, hand, and then you got your kids and you got X amount of things that keep your day so full that it's really hard to quiet the noise,
yeah,
right? But absolutely, like you said, if you can tune all those things out, it's easier to hear the voice of God.
Yeah.
And so for me, I wasn't sure. Like, some people actually have heard the audible voice of God. Some people, it's, or like, oftentimes it's referred to as the still small voice. And one of the ways that I've learned that you can detect if it's you or God is that, number one, God his voice will always align with his word, right? He's not going to lead you into sin, or he's not going to do something that is against his word. He's not a man, he cannot lie. So, and then also, it's like usually, if something pops into your mind, it's like a thought that it would not be your own thought. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I wouldn't think like that, or I wouldn't, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I always think sometimes though, that does happen. But how I know is like, if I ask a question in the morning and somebody, and I think I've channeled the answer. Mm-hmm. And then you do that thing where you're like,
Was that me?
Like, was that my ego? Like, right. Was that spirit or whatever? Right. And then you have a conversation with somebody like in the same day,
right.
And they are answering a question, right. Or saying something that you were just questioning.
Right.
To me, that's like, okay. And I've definitely had that happen where I'm like, you just answered my question. Thank you. Thank you for the message from God.
Right.
Like
I feel like you do get like, remember the butterfly thing?
Yeah.
Like you like posed a question, like when we were talking, you're like, okay, spirit, if da 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 da, I'm going to see butterflies sometime. And then I was like, do I have something in my hair? And there was like a little charm I had had. Maybe I had lock extensions
so
or something.
Random.
And on it, there was
a butterfly.
And I'm not even a butterfly kind of chick. Like, so like, and it was like that same, like in that moment. And that's not always how it happens, right? Like sometimes people are like, well, I asked God and I didn't get an answer. You know what I mean? But also he wants us to continually be talking to him, right? Yes. And so sometimes when he doesn't give us the automatic answer, it's maybe to train us to continually seek him.
There was also an idea that somebody that also, so the answer is not always direct, right? And this is why for our logical brain, it's so tricky, mm-hmm. because it's not black and white. It's not 1 + 1 = 2. It's the divine. It's the unseen.
Yes.
So it is when the time is right, not in man time,
exactly.
In the divine
and,
time.
You know, God exists outside of time, right?
Yes.
And so like, what I've learned in my own life is that like God always comes through. And sometimes for me, I find it's literally at the like
11th
hour. And so I get into like a state of like maybe panic or stress and worry, you know, and then he comes through the last second and I'm like, oh, you're funny. Okay, God. But he does it to me every time. And it's like, when are you going to learn that I always come through on time?
But
it's just not necessarily the timing that I think it should be. But he's shown up time and time again. So, and actually what that gentleman had said, circling back to, he said that God wanted me to know he has been speaking to me through my visions and my dreams. And he said, he wants you to commit and he will start to reveal more to you.
Yep.
And I know at that time in my life, I wasn't
ready
fully, you know, and what in the world? No, was that that thing just flew off the wall? I don't know. Okay, God.
You know, like, I think, are you committing right now?
Well, I am committing.
Was that like an affirmation?
I don't know, but something just flew off my wall. It's been on the bookshelf for months and I moved it the other day and it's been up for days and then it just flew off and landed right at our feet. So that's interesting. Take that as a sign. He's like, uh-huh. How 8 years it took you? Okay. But yeah. So
just a slow learner.
I am.
I'm a quick learner
when it comes to like actually like learning anything educationally.
I don't think that it's that you're a slow learner. I think that's you're...
I'm a stubborn person?
Yes.
Okay.
And right. You and I have had this conversation, so we don't need to reiterate it.
Yeah. Yes, I am stubborn. I come by it honestly. But yeah, so he said that I needed to commit. And that was somewhere where I was like, oh, like, okay, so now I know he's speaking to me through my vision and my dreams. But I need to commit before he'll reveal more to me. Okay, well, how much do I want these visions and dreams? And am I ready to be used in a way where, like, if I'm supposed to be... obviously, if he's giving this to me, then it's to be used, right?
Yes.
And was I ready to be used? Was I ready to commit to him fully? What did that look like? And again, I'm a little stubborn. So there has been times where I think of it as the further I am away from God spiritually, the less I'm spending time in prayer, or, you know, when I wasn't going to church regularly, whatever it is.
Yeah.
The further I am in my walk away from God, the less I have these dreams. So I could go a big period of time, depending on how in alignment I am with God, right? And then, and that will even look like, are you sleeping? Because if he speaks to you through your visions and your dreams, then you're going to be need to sleep sometimes, you know? And I could sometimes go months and months and months with like getting a couple hours of sleep a night, you know what I mean? And so, and also asking God to speak to me, right? Yeah. Like, and not just taking it for granted that he does, but like, hey, I would like to hear from you more. I would like these visions. I would like these dreams. Also learning, what do I do with that? And that kind of goes into the whole, what you were speaking about the clairs and stuff, right?
Yeah.
And so how do you, when you realize you have those gifts, how do you?
What do you do with them?
Yeah. Like,
I.
Like when, for you, like when it first became clear to you that you had.
I think that if anything, what it does more than anything else is it gives me such, it, actually, as you were talking, I was thinking about when you were talking about the closer you are to God, the further away you are. And I was thinking about my grandmothers popped into my head, both of them. Absolute devout Christians, mm-hmm. like loved God. I never understood it for the life of me. I'm like, yeah. Man, you really love this God guy.
Yeah.
And I couldn't understand him. Now I do. And the reason why I do is because, you know, you can have a conversation with your bestie, but your bestie's experience is colored, or the advice they're going to give you is colored by their own experience, their own trauma, their own belief system, and might have all of the very best intentions, mm-hmm. but might not give you what you need to hear in that moment. Mm-hmm. And I think for me, outside of like how I'm going to help other people, for me, it just gives me such a sense of peace and calm that anything that comes my way, and I even see now that when I navigate challenges, it's like, okay, I don't need to have the answer right now. I'm going to sleep on it. I'm going to like put it out there. And so now sometimes what I'll do is if I have a question, I'll be like, give it to me in a dream. Mm. Please answer me in a dream. Mm-hmm. And on this trip,
yep.
that was one thing that happened. There was something that I felt like I needed clarity on. And so right before I went to sleep, I was like, dear God, please give me the clarity I need around this situation in a dream. Mm-hmm. Went to sleep, had a dream, mm-hmm. weird dream, but not, it was not a one of those like crazy weird dreams where you're like, and that's normally how I dream. Normally my dream is so full of symbolism that I have to like spend the next day like dissecting it and figuring out what the message is, which is actually part of the fun. Mm-hmm. But this one was like very clear, and it was like, and so like blasé that mm-hmm. I was like, all right, that's kind of an interesting, boring dream, but okay, mm-hmm. fair enough. I shit you not. That next day I was having a conversation with somebody and they tell me a story that was my dream.
No.
I shit you not.
Ugh, I just like.
And I was like, huh, all right. Now, but it was like the way that it unfolded, the rest of the clarity that I was seeking, mm-hmm. it was like there were crumbs. Mm-hmm. They're never the answer. Yeah. It's like you got to follow these crumbs down this trail
right.
to actually get to the realization. Yeah. And that's exactly what this was. The dream isn't what answered my question.
Right.
The dream just led me down this trail to ask better questions. Mm.
Yeah.
And the only reason I knew to follow the trail was because I asked for a dream. I got a dream. And then somebody has a conversation and tells me something that is the dream.
Yeah.
To me, God was talking to me.
Exactly.
Right? Like very, very, I didn't write it down. I didn't tell anybody about it. How did this guy tell me what my dream was?
So then I wonder too, sometimes though, like, sometimes you can give it to us so clear. And then other times, like you said, it's more maybe convoluted or vague, or like you have some dissecting to do. So then what do you do when you maybe are asking or seeking clarity on something and he doesn't just reveal it in a dream or in a conversation? Like, is like, do you take that as, I just need to wait, or I need to?
So I have learned that one of my lessons, and this is probably everybody's lesson, but for me, one of my things is learning to be patient. And I've always considered myself to be one of the calmest, most patient, most reasonable people for the most part. Okay. Like, I'm human. So
I would put myself in that box too. I would say, but then I realized,
I have my triggers like everyone else, but I've learned that even though I believe those things about myself, I realize that the energy that I've been embodying previous to now has been like, no, I want the answer and I want it now. Mm-hmm. That's really the energy. Right. So I think I was doing a really good job of like pretending that I was calm and patient when the truth was, I'm like, no, I want the answer and I want it right now. And I'm just going to dig and dig and dig until I find it. But now I realize that like, sometimes we're not really ready for the answer. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we haven't learned enough to deal with the answer. Right. And we haven't evolved enough, right? Because it's what you're supposed to do next after you get your answer isn't always so clear. Right. So it's really a lot of patience. So yes, my questions get answered, but never in the way that I think they should be answered. Right. So I'm learning patience.
And that's just also allowing God to be God. Because like, you know, sometimes we become the gods of our lives, right? If you like have an achievement, sometimes it's like, oh, I achieved that because of my hard work and whatever, right? And instead of, you know, recognizing that like, that was God that allowed me to X, Y, or Z. And so in that way, we kind of become the gods of our own lives. Or it's like, if I don't get the answer in time, I'm going to make what I want to happen happen anyways, right?
Yeah.
Like I use the example of before I went to university. I always knew that I wanted at some point to maybe go to university. And I was in a job where I didn't feel like I was necessarily being as valued or compensated fairly or whatever. And I just got frustrated. I was like, you know what? And this was maybe one of the first dreams that I acknowledged that before I knew that I was having prophetic dreams, God gave me a vision for a business, a name, a business name. And I woke up and I wrote it down. I designed the logo and then I never did anything with it. And so like 4 years goes by and then I was like, you know what? I'm going to go to university. And then the door kind of opened for me to like do the accelerated program, Bachelor of Commerce. So I'd get my diploma and my degree in 30 months, 2.5 years. And I'm a very much a go-getter, like perfectionist freak. So I did this as a single mother, a 4-year-old, and I swear it almost killed me. But anyways, and so when I got out of school, I was like, okay, God, you open the doors and
I'm ready.
I ran through them. I was successful. Now, where are the job opportunities? Right. And, you know, I've never in my life struggled to find a job ever until I graduated with my degree. And I'm like, what is happening? And I'm submitting resumes and getting defeated and frustrated. And, you know, at some point I kind of came to the realization. It was like, when God gave me that vision, he didn't say, go to school, get the degree, get the validation, you know, walk the stage, have the certificate. He didn't say any of that. He gave me an idea for a business. I didn't exactly know what it, I didn't ask any more questions after that. I didn't go, well, what kind of business is this? And how do I, you know,
take your time with it.
And I didn't take a step on faith. I was like, well, if I'm going to have this business, then I'm going to need the credentials in order for to get validated, you know what I mean? And for people to, like it was a consulting kind of what I thought was a consulting kind of thing. And so then I would need the degree so that people, you know, were like, oh, she's got the credentials and da da da. And I decided to go my own route, 30 intense months of nonstop schooling year round and many sleepless nights and so many Red Bulls and coffees that I couldn't count. And I was sometimes like literally like shaking, like I've never, you know, and it was like, huh, you went your own long way. And I just said, take a step. You know, the crumb. So it's the faith, the taking the step.
Yeah.
I still struggle with this very much. So.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, you know, your audience doesn't. I still struggle with this. But it's like, he sometimes is just like, you know, I'm not going to, he always actually, he doesn't show you the full picture.
No.
He's just wanting you to take the next step and have faith that.
But you know why we don't get the full picture?
I believe so. But
why?
Because if we did, then I think that takes the faith part out of it, right? And it's like, okay, I know what I need to do, A, B, C, D, and I'll get there. And sometimes it's just like, just trust in me, trust that I'll provide, trust that I'll, that I have everything lined up. I have the right people, the resources, everything that you need lined up if you just trust in me and take the next step. That's what I think. And still I'm growing in that area. I do have, it's been a faith journey for the last 8 years. Funnily enough, the timing of that birthday, I just realized that actually.
Wow. And now that you mention it.
Huh. I didn't even make that connection. But yeah, so it has been a everyday faith walk. But I know, so my sister-in-law Shakir had a dream, I would say maybe 2 years ago. And I won't get into the details of the dream, but she was like, her automatic reaction was to call me and be like, oh my gosh, sister, you're going to come into, and I can't remember the dollar amount that she had in this dream. And then she was like, God stopped her and was like, no, you need to pray about what the message that you need to deliver to her is. So she prayed about it before she called me. Then she called me, told me about this dream. And she was like, basically, God has something really major in store for you, but he's going to require you to do something that you're not comfortable with. It's going to take you out of your comfort zone. And I was like, okay, amazing. Not really good about getting out of my comfort zone. And I'd say 2 years ago, I was deep, not in my, I'm so comfortable with my life, but like I had kind of like really like retreated from the world, society, social media, everything. And so getting out of that comfort zone, this is like one of the steps, let's say. Okay. Again, slow learner, whatever. But like, so I was like, do I really, I don't know what if that looks like. He says, pack up and you're going to go move to XYZ. Like what it, I'm not ready. Whatever it is, I don't even know what it is, but I'm not ready. Right. I'm not ready to this major thing that might thrust me out into the...
Yeah, that's why we don't get the whole plan.
Right.
That's actually where I was going, because if it's something we don't like on the journey, we're going to be like, no thanks.
Yeah.
I see the reward. Don't like the journey.
Right. So that dream, I don't know that it's still come to... But I do know, for example, like I always sang, and then like for the last, I'd say 10 years in church, I never, and everyone would be like, why aren't you up there singing? Why aren't you up there singing? And I'd be like, oh, maybe one day, you know, like just, right? And so these are like, maybe not things that anybody would think are major, but like now I'm back singing in church, which I don't like spotlight. I don't like attention. And singing in church is not supposed to be about me anyways, but like, these are the like uncomfortable things that I'm now, whether I recognized it at the time or not, that I'm, they're little things, but are probably leading me to the bigger thing that he's going, you know, like whatever it is that God's going to require of me, but hey, I have something great at the end, but to get there, you're going to have to get out of.
You have to.
Come out of hiding.
Yep.
You might need to go back on social media. You might need to share your testimony. You might need, I don't know what that looks like. And it terrifies me. But I think he's just kind of like growing me in little areas so that I am prepared when he's like, hey, this is the next thing. And so, yeah.
I think that's exactly, you know, what the journey looks like. And what's so interesting within all of that, like, you know, you're talking about not loving the spotlight. Neither do I, like, at all. I'm totally good to, like,
behind the scenes.
100%.
I love it.
Don't even give me the accolades.
Like, please.
Okay, that's not true. Clear, cancel, release. And the reason why I say that is because if we're not ready to receive, we don't receive. Mm. And part of that is being, like, being okay. And this is a great segue into, like, why that is, you know? Like, why aren't you okay with saying, yes, I'm good at this? Or saying, yes, I did that. Because it's like almost denying the gift, like saying, I don't want it. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so the energy is like in conflict with each other. Totally. So part of my current learnings is like, how do I gracefully accept the compliment, the gift, the accolades, all of those things? And it was a question that I posed to a friend. And she said to me, she's like, I want you to go listen to the biography of Mother Teresa. Mm. So I started. Mm. And she asked me, she's like, what did you, like, what was immediately apparent to you? Like, it's lengthy. So I'm like, maybe, I don't even think I'm a quarter of the way through it. Mm. And she's like, what was immediately apparent to you, like, as you were working your way through the book? And I said, she doesn't want any accolades at all. Mm-hmm. She doesn't want her name attached to it. She doesn't want to take any of the shot. Like, she is so in servitude to God that she's like, it's not me. It's like God. Like, it has nothing to do. I'm just a servant. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
And she's like, and what does that energy feel like to you? And I'm like, it sounds and feels like she has all her own insecurities about like the resource that she is. And, you know, we look at Mother Teresa, the work that she did, and you would have not necessarily ever thought that. You would have just thought, yes, she had a love for God and she was a devout servant to God and the work that she was doing. But like, I'm serious. Like when they're reading her letters and her diaries and stuff like that, it's like so much of this energy that you and I are talking about where it's like, no, I don't want any of the accolades, but eventually I think you have to move out of that. Mm-hmm. And not in an egoic sense, and not even in an egoic sense, right? Yeah. Like just saying, I am here. I'm a servant to humanity or to the divine or God or whatever. Mm-hmm. And just being really, really okay with that. So,
well, interestingly enough, when we decided what we would talk about and imposter syndrome was the thing that came to mind, this kind of just makes me think, like when you were saying, like, you know, not wanting the shine, or I remember like growing up, I was very like a shy kid. And I remember when we started going to the church that I've been at since I was 8, they had like a really amazing choir, and then they had a children's choir, and it was just like just black gospel. It was like, oh, the dopest church ever. And my brother told me I should try out for the children's choir. And at that point in my life, I didn't even know I could sing or think I could sing. And I was like the shyest person ever. And I tried out because we had to audition. And so I made the choir. So did my sister. And then the choir director, shortly after I joined the choir, she passed me a cassette tape, you know, back in the day. And said, I want you to learn this song for Tuesday's practice. I want you to do the lead on it. And I'm like, me? Like, why would you pick me? Like, you know?
Yeah.
And I learned it. And then when I first performed it, like, everybody was like, you would never know that that voice would come out of that girl, you know? And then it was like, I got lead after lead after lead. And I would be, you know, like, and I'm thinking like my sister can sing. And I'm thinking like, why am I, you know, being chosen to do this? You know what I mean? And so like, I always felt like, well, no, like if somebody was like, oh my gosh, you and your sister could sing, I would like downplay my, not and genuinely not like acting modest. Yep. I would literally be like, oh, like I'm all right. I can sing. I can,
but I can hold a note.
Yeah. But like, I've never thought, oh, I'm such a great singer. You know what I mean? And that comes to like many other things, right? Yeah. Like, and so I've kind of always like, you know, well, and you could easily be like, oh, well, I'm not Beyonce, so therefore, like, and you know what I mean? Or I'm not Aretha Franklin, or I can't do what so-and-so can do with their voice, or Christina Aguilera. So then, therefore, I'm not a great singer.
Yeah.
Because I can't do what those singers do.
Yes.
And that, like, bleeds into so many areas of my life in which it's like, oh, if I wanted to, you know, like, oh, I know I'm smart in school. I know I'm great in school. Okay. So you go to school and you get good grades and awesome. And then after that, it's like the living out the life part of it. It's like, well, you know, like, why did that person get chosen over me? Well, then they must be or have this about them that I maybe don't
have. Stories begin.
You know?
Yeah. The limiting beliefs.
Totally. Yeah. Like you were saying earlier. And so I'm kind of coming into this place, and it's actually interesting. I never go on social media, and, you know, like Michaela was like, do you have a social media page for your hair? Like, and I was like, no, I started filming the stuff and like making, but I never do the edit, you know, whatever it is. Right. Cause then, oh my gosh, what if this blows up? Right. Like, what if this becomes bigger than, you know, I want it to be, or, and then I did for my birthday.
I saw your post.
Yeah. And I, for some reason, maybe because it was 40, I made a birthday post. Because I usually make one for my daughter. And that's like the only post I make every year.
One a year.
December 31st, right? So I made a post. And I was on, you know, then you start scrolling. And I don't know whose page it was, because now Instagram, like, it's not just the people you follow that you can see there.
Yeah.
Reels and stuff. And so this black woman was talking, and she was like, basically the gist of what she said, I literally was like, I had to follow her because I need to be able to go back and rewatch this. I was like, this is talking to me. It was talking about, it's time for you to, she didn't say go outside, but basically like, you've been in hiding.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And like, in order, like some people, maybe it's just they're shy, or they don't want to the criticism of others, or they just don't want to be looked at. You know what I mean? Like, I don't necessarily want to share things that are personal, or I don't want to be seen, or I don't want to be judged, or whatever the case may be. And she was like, I'm telling you, and she had done the same thing. She'd walked away from social media. Hers was months, not years. And then, you know, I can't remember the scripture that she was reading, but something was like, basically she realized that like, in order for God to use her, she needs to be
out there,
seen.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
And this is the world that we live in which it could be in, it most likely is, social media is a medium for, you know what I mean? And so she was like, I'm just encouraging you. It's time for you to come out of hiding. And you know what I mean? And I was like, oh my gosh, this was literally meant for me. And sometimes God speaks to us in those ways too,
yes,
right?
Absolutely.
And I, you know, it's like you can go back into your day-to-day life and then, you know, be like, okay, yeah, I got that message, but then like go back to your, you know, but then funnily enough, like we'd booked this
a long time ago.
Yeah. And then it's like I started having this like, okay, Charisse and I are gonna do this podcast. And like, what if it gets too deep? Because we can get into deep conversations. What if I get emotional? And like, whatever. But I'm like, this is maybe that like part of coming out, you know, even like when you said, why did you buy podcast equipment. It was just like things like, I went to radio broadcast school. I have a diploma in radio broadcast. I've never liked my voice. I don't like listening back to it. I just absolutely cringe. And so I, a couple months ago, got some podcast equipment just so I could get comfortable again, just talking and maybe having to listen to myself back and getting over that disgust. I don't like being filmed. I hate when people take videos of me, pictures.
Verbiage. But verbiage.
Yes, right.
Verbiage.
In the past, I did not love or enjoy those things. But even like the 40th birthday thing, like, it's like, okay, you're coming out of hiding, and it's like, in order for your gifts to be used to the fullness that, you know, God desires for them to be used, maybe you might need to. And also, I guess it's weird. It's like, maybe, oh, I'm so modest, or maybe it's egoic to think that like people care that much about like that. Oh, if I get out there, they're going to, you know what I mean? Pay so much attention to me that I'm not going to like all the attention. Like I genuinely don't like attention, but it's like, oh, that's almost an egoic thing to be like.
It is egoic, but I think that we've had plenty of examples of how social media, unfortunately, can be a very toxic environment.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we, and I say we, because you and I have been talking about this podcast for a doggone minute.
Yes.
And I literally just decided, and I was like, I'm just going to, and it wasn't.
Well, actually, it was last, oh my gosh.
It was.
Last July.
It was.
It was at your sister's house. It was on her birthday. Mm, I was doing your hair, and Charisse just says, we should do a podcast together. And I was like, oh my God, okay. Yes. And then she said, but I'm thinking, because she had a lot on her plate, like maybe January, beginning of January 2024.
Yes, that's what I said.
And she's been gone for a lot. So I was like, well, how are we going to do this? Are we going to, you know, she's like, we'll figure it out. But then I let that whole idea go. I just done, you know, and then in January, it's actually when I saw you.
Yes.
And then you were saying like, if you could buy something for yourself. And I was like, oh, I have no. And then you were like, tell me to think about it. And then I was like, maybe I'd buy some podcast equipment. And then the next time I saw you, you were like, bought yourself equipment. And then it was like, boom.
You're like, but part of that is having like, because I've been talking, twirling around in my head the podcast for like probably 2 years,
mm-hmm.
with all sincerity. I was trying to figure out, how was I going to do it? What was I going to talk about? And it had evolved.
And how much of yourself you will reveal.
Yes.
And how much.
Well, it was either going to be this kind of personal story type of podcast, or it was going to be more related to the business mm-hmm. that I work in. And I wasn't sure what that would look like. So that's why it took so long.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to give props where they're due, because it was actually Helen who would not, what I should say, a very good friend of mine. It wasn't you. It was someone else who mm-hmm. called me and it said, right. We should do a podcast. And I was like, yeah, so we should do it. And then she's like, I've never even listened to a podcast before. And I'm like, that's so random. I don't even think that message was for you. I think it was for me.
100%.
And then it was Helen who was like saying all the stuff that you're saying right now, mm-hmm. which was, you have these gifts. You're meant to be used. Like, you can't stay small. You got to be, and terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was so scared. Like, and all the things she's like, and you got to do this on social media. I'm like, right. And mm-hmm. like you, I only post my kids on social media. Mm-hmm. There's nothing personal. Very, very little that is personal about me on social media.
And then that's like, you're literally bearing, like, you're standing there nude and like,
saying, 100%.
You know?
And I think, you know, even aside just from social media, I think the reality is that I've seen evidence of in my own life of the judgment that's in my face and the judgment that's not in my face. And I think you just gotta knuckle down and just be like, whatever, I'm living my life. I'm a good human being. I don't make decisions that intentionally hurt other people. We're all doing the very same thing, which is trying to live our lives to the very best of our abilities and just not worrying about what other people have to say. And I think that that's really the idea that we got to really stand firmly rooted in on a daily basis, which is You have gifts. Mm-hmm. So, Jess, you know, we've talked a lot about your relationship with God and some imposter syndrome, mm-hmm. a little bit. And I'm curious, like, you know, we're halfway through the year now. It's July. You just had a 40th birthday. What's changed? How are you showing up differently?
You mean since my 40th birthday?
No, I mean since the beginning of this year. Because, okay, so at the very beginning of this year, Jess, I'm like one of Jess's biggest cheerleaders. She's so multi-talented. And I'm sure you guys know people in your life who have like all kinds of ridiculous skills. And they keep themselves small. And you can see their life for them and all of the amazingness that it can be. And for whatever reason, they just don't step up. And so I tried to be Jess's accountability partner at the beginning of this year. Like, I even set a reminder on my phone, like, call Jess and talk about this. And I will message her. I mean, the pop-up still is on my phone, just so you know. So that's what I'm asking. Since the beginning of this year, now that we're halfway through the year, the goals that you set, where are you with them?
Slow and steady wins the race. I'll start with that. I think actually that's a hard thing for me where it's like, I guess it's looking back, I can kind of see. Looking forward is a difficult one for me, right? So at the beginning of the year when you're asking me, okay, like if you could have your biggest, wildest dream, and I'm like, oh God, I have to think about that one for 6 months.
I did too. I told her to like go vision board it.
Right? But I think it isn't necessarily even my biggest, wildest dreams. It's like, I think, like I said, okay, so now I'm leading a youth worship team at church, which means a praise team singing. And our youth in our church is growing. And God has put the resources. I was like, I don't know who the musicians are going to be. And when I had spoken to my pastor, she'd called, wanted me to talk. She's kind of been like, when is it going to happen, you know? And I was like, soon. And then in April, and I had been really having my migraines and stuff, and I said, oh, okay, I'll call you this week. And it was like almost the end of the week, and I'm like, I'm going to have to see her on Sunday, and I haven't called her yet. So I was like, let me call. So I called, and I said, you know, like, I'm supposed to get a treatment for my headaches, and so, like, you know, hopefully within the next, like, little while, like, I'll be feeling better. And then I go to church on Sunday, and my cousin Lamar was doing the announce. No, I can't remember, but he was like, in 2 weeks, we're going to have our first youth service. And I was like, what? Like, I didn't have musicians. I didn't have anything. And somehow, I have a family of clients that I do their hair, and the husband and the two kids all play instruments. The daughter sings, the son is an amazing drummer, and the dad can play like multiple instruments. And I invited them to the first youth service, and now they are members of our church, and I have a full band of musicians. Now, if it was up to me, I would have prolonged starting until everything was lined up and I had everything in place, but
divine timing don't work like that.
I was forced to step out on faith, and then God brought it all together. Yeah. So there's that. It wasn't something I was, you know, thinking in January, oh, I'm going to have a worship team. Like, these are not things that were necessarily my desires. Do you know what I mean? But, or going and getting the podcast equipment, and instead of stalling and being like, no, you know, when, like, I actually found this on Marketplace, and it's brand new in the box, never been used, for like half the price. And, you know, like, instead of having these barriers that I use to keep me from, you know,
safe and small.
Yes. So I would say in that way, even though these were not my intentional things that I was like, these are the things I'm doing to grow and live big. It's like, they're just happening. And whether I like it or not, they're happening. But maybe just being open to it. You know what I mean? Just saying yes.
I'm curious, though, like what you put out there. And I think what I'm actually encouraging you to do is to be more intentional, you know. And I don't know if you listened to the podcast that I had with Les or not.
I did not.
But we were talking about manifesting or co-creating with the divine. And I said to him, like, because he was like, you know, he has his way of manifesting. And I said, we got to be really careful what we put out there and how we put it out there, because you do get exactly what you ask for. People think that they don't. Mm-hmm. And the example that he used was like, oh, so if I ask for a new car and my car gets stolen, I'm like, well, think it through. Mm-hmm. Right. You ask for a new car, you go to sleep at night, your car gets stolen overnight. Now you're going to get a new car.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that happened to Rico before. He was so pissed off about this vehicle that he had put so much whatever. And he said, I wish like it would just like some, like he said something that like basically that it would just get like written off kind of thing. And I was like, don't say that. And I kid you not, it was parked outside of our house. And this is when Telus was laying those optic lines. And a backhoe backed over his vehicle out in front of our house. We did not hear it. But the backhoe driver wasn't there at that time. Like, they denied, whatever. But he didn't get it taken care of. Yeah. You know what I mean? And it ended up being, like, salvaged, whatever. Yeah. And I was like, well, you put that out there.
Yeah. That's like, why when people say things like that, I'm like, clear, cancel, release. And they always look at me like I'm a weirdo. And I'm like, verbiage. Take it back.
Yeah.
Like, if you think about how these things work, right? And I, like, again, going back to the visual of, like, us as individuals here on this very dense planet and the divine, and then everything in between and all the stuff that's literally floating around us at any moment in time, and how you can have a great idea, let's say divinely guided, but you do have to bring it up out of the ether and bring it down into physical manifestation. So everything begins with a thought. Then it's a word, or you speak it out. Then we physically begin to put things into motion, right? So that's why when people say things, I'm like, no, they didn't mean it. Take it back. Did you mean that?
Yes, exactly. It is making me think about, you know, I went to this conference in Calgary at my cousin's church, and this pastor from Africa, I can't remember where in Africa he's from, but he was talking about how the earth is female. So, you know, people say Mother Earth. She has a womb and she has a mouth. And anything that you plant into the earth brings forth, right? And the first and the original seed that was planted in the earth was the word, you know, so if you believe in creation story that God spoke, he said, let there be this, let there be that, and everything was brought forth by the word. And in the Bible it says the power of life and death is in the tongue, meaning that you have to be so mindful and intentional and not just speak mindlessly and say things flippantly, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I remember years ago I used to just be like, when something like was like dramatic, I'd be like, oh, kill me now, like even in like jokingly.
Yeah.
And my mom would say, don't say that. You know what I mean? And not that I was intentionally meaning kill me now, but it was like just something I would just flippantly say.
Yeah.
And then when, I mean, I'm sure there was times after that that she had said that to me that I still said it, but I noticed that over time I stopped saying that because you're not meaning anything by it, but
you're calling it in.
So much power in what you say. And so when you and I had spoken in January, you were like, journal and, you know, telling, like, talking to me about, like, thinking bigger and not even just, like, about materialism or whatever, like, what I want my life to look like. And I will say, honestly, I'm talking, like, just recently, within the last, I would say, couple months, I started being like I've been like, oh, I know I'm gonna need a car soon, like a newer vehicle, you know what I mean? But I don't give it much thought other than that. I'm like, well, this thing's still kicking, you know, let's go. Then I started being like, okay, but what would that vehicle look like? Okay, but be an SUV, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or why don't you think about the next home that you'd have? Or like just actually starting to like allow myself to think like that instead of thinking that like that sounds so materialistic and, you know, God forbid I think that I want more.
I'm pretty sure that God wants you to be comfortable so that you can actually do the work you're supposed to do for him.
It says that, you know, he owns the cattle on a thousand hills. Like he, every resource, everything is his to do what he wants with, right? And to distribute and to give. And he wants to, and that's that dream that Shakira had, right? Yeah. He has more in store for me. I just have to get out of my comfort zone and step and say, use me, or I'm open. I'm like, whatever that looks like, right? And so maybe I didn't actively go stand in a field and say, Lord, I'm ready for you to use me. But I think just in those conversations and the opening my mind to those things and all of that, that if I look back over the last 6 months, it's happening without me even like saying, oh, this is what I want God specifically, you know what I mean? But also, I do know that you can be specific with God and that he cares down to the like most finite detail, right? And so
I want to issue a challenge here to you very publicly. So anybody that knows Jess, we can all hold her. Yeah, she sure is. She's actually giving
me. We might edit this part out.
We're not going to. Because we're now more than halfway through the year. Mm-hmm. And in about another 3 months, people will start thinking about, yes, I'm going to say it, 2025. Mm-hmm. And I want you to be more intentional. Mm-hmm. Don't live your life by accident. Mm-hmm. Be far more intentional. So I want you to think of...
She's got the most like mischievous grin on her face, if you could see it. I wish this was video and audio.
I have this laugh.
It's giving Cheshire Cat.
Well, no, it's not for me. It's for you because I've been very patient. I've been very, very patient.
There's that word again.
Waiting for you. And I've been, you know, every time you and I chat, I'm like, so what's going on? So yes, those things are very lovely. But I want you to just one thing right now.
Oh, don't be.
Yes.
I hate being put on the spot.
Yes. You know, you've had a lot of time. It's 7 months. You've had the entire, you've had more than half a year.
Time's just flying. Do you know that?
Yeah, it is. Okay. But don't distract me.
I wish she had given me some warning in advance. Like,
Jess, don't distract me.
Okay, one thing.
One thing. Just one thing. One goal. And it's not about, it's not even about the achievement of that specific goal. It's the journey, right? Mm-hmm. So pick one thing. And we did this at the beginning of this year. We talked about it. I don't even know if you did the exercise that I had suggested.
Which one was?
Think big. If you had to like, and what we were talking about at that point in time.
Nigeria was on my 40-year bucket list.
Yeah. So are you coming?
I intend absolutely to.
Okay.
Yes.
That's not
And I've had a conversation with my dad very recently about it. In fact, interestingly enough, when my cousin Leah was at my birthday, which I had no idea she was going to come up for, which is awesome. Somehow we got into the conversation. My dad had been talking to her on the side and she mentioned doing her ancestry. And her dad is Jamaican. And she did her ancestry and found that she's like 80 some percent Nigerian, which, you know, if you know, you know.
Yeah.
So my dad was like, of course. And he was so excited. My dad's Nigerian for your audience that doesn't know. And so then my dad got really excited and then was like, yes, we need to go and bring Leah. We need to go. I'm like, all of a sudden now you're ready to go. But because I've been talking to him about it. But anyways, and I'm not going to say, but I have, you know, been like, okay, I know what I need to do to make that thing a reality. And so I'm just going to be working towards it.
Okay, so let's put a time around it.
Well, I said in my 40th year, I just turned 40.
We're in July of 2024. Let's put a time on it. When are you going?
Ideally, you know, listen, let's just put it this way. If I miss by a couple months and I'm 41, I would like to go in the colder months in Canada.
Excellent. That time is coming up.
Oh, no, that's too soon. That's too soon.
Oh, Jeff.
Well, let's listen. I mean, nothing is impossible with God. Okay, it could happen. I'm just saying.
Do you see the stubbornness? Do you see the resistance? Do you see, like, I'm serious. The things that I put out there
also,
at the end of last year.
I'm Nigerian, so yeah. And stubbornness is one of our wonderful characteristics.
Okay.
I do. I want to go. But also I have like a couple things. Like I'm supposed to be going to Cayman Islands to see my sister. I'm supposed to be sending my daughter to France this year. There's some things. However,
you're so missing.
If I'm calling it all in, then God will align the resources and the things that I need to make it. So, and okay. I also have to actively be, you know,
okay, so that's the thing. You want to go to Nigeria?
Yes.
Okay. So by July of next year,
Jess
will be have at least made the trip to Nigeria. You said colder months, so they're coming up.
And that's rapido. That's rapido.
It's not that fast. I mean, it's that fast, but realistically speaking, it's not like you don't have a place to go. You don't have a place to stay. It's just a flight. Like, it's realistically, like, you're already putting, you see how you're doing? You're already putting up all kinds of objections.
You see, my body language?
Yeah,
like,
yeah. It's making her nervous. And I don't know why. So that would maybe, I would probably ask myself that question. Like, why am I so anxious about this right now?
Maybe I'll answer that after the podcast.
Yeah, you don't need to answer it here and now for everybody to hear. But that would be an example of a question I would ask myself.
Well,
why am I so anxious about, like, why does it make me have a physical response?
I think just like putting me on the spot. But then again, like I said, if I wasn't told, in 2 weeks we're doing this, I would have, you know, put it off until it was a little more.
Oh, see, you really like being in your comfort zone is really what you're
or
saying.
Or in control or something. So sometimes when put on the spot, it's a good thing. Because if left to my own devices, 40 turns to 50. So, yes, thank you. Thank you for that, Therese.
You're
I love
so
you for
welcome.
That. Wonderful.
Yes.
Thank you.
You're
and
so
on to the next topic.
You're so welcome. Well, you know, Jess, I just want to say thank you. I love sitting and chatting with you. All of our conversations are always like this. We had an idea of what we were going to talk about, and I think we only touched on it briefly.
Briefly.
But I do think that the conversation nonetheless was extremely, I enjoyed it thoroughly.
I mean, we can always do a part two.
Of course.
When I'm in Nigeria,
yes.
Visiting.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you put that out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
It absolutely would be.
That would be a nice follow-up.
It absolutely would be. Like, here we are.
And you know what I honestly think? Like, I was thinking about this the other day. I really do think there's something to me, for me to go to my native country, to the motherland, to go, that I expect or I believe there's, like, maybe this, like, understanding me, like, really fully
mm-hmm.
stepping into me, like mm-hmm. all of that, what that means, what that looks like,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it is something that I do really want. I think then I'll finally be like, okay, now the things that I'm like, I'm not sure, like, I think I'll have like some answers for some things.
It's a very rewarding experience. I'm sure that when I do my own genealogy, that, you know, I mean, my family's from the Caribbean. So
you're probably,
yeah. So I'm sure that there's something similar there. But when people ask me about my experience in Nigeria, Nigerians are always shocked by the answer, which is, I love it. And it has been truly one of the most rewarding experiences that I've ever had, and not for any of the reasons that I would have initially thought. Mm-hmm. And I think actually it finally resonated for me what the answer was. I think it was one of my kids that I was saying. And the answer for me was, I feel like I finally got the gift of myself.
Mm. Yes.
Right. And not, again, in the way that people think, mm-hmm. right? Or might think, or even that I might think, like, you just go and now all of a sudden you're like, oh my gosh, I make so much more sense to myself. Yeah, no. It's not at all like that. It's this journey of discovery of self mm-hmm. that Nigeria has given to me.
Yeah.
So thank you, Nigeria. If I haven't said it enough, I'm putting out lots of gratitude for the experience of Nigeria. So if you're ever thinking about it, go.
Well, okay, Nigeria, if you're listening, please send all the resources that I will need to make it to you. yes, and I'm sure Nigeria will just love me as much as I will love Nigeria.
I'm positive about it.
I definitely it's something that I don't think I'll feel complete until it happens. So yeah, that's definitely on the list of things that
So, listeners, you heard that commitment, Nigeria, by July 2025. We have put it out there, and now
and so it is.
And so it is.
That's a perfect way to end this.
100%. Well, again, Jess, thank you. As always, it's a joy and a pleasure to share time and experience with you and laugh and just be ourselves. And thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you again for joining myself and Jessica today as we chatted about imposter syndrome and how we meet the challenges and the experiences along this beautiful journey called life, and how we are both looking to use faith and spirituality on a moment-to-moment daily basis in our lives. If you continue to enjoy the content, please feel free to continue to listen on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And if you have any questions, ideas for feedback, content, please feel free to email me at sherisse@yourcollective.ca. That's sherisse @yourcollective.ca. And until next time, please take care of yourselves.